don't want to ever share Jesus Christ with anybody, but get me a better job. Whenever you want more from God and there's not more for God, you have mixed priorities.
Dr. Tony Evans explains why stewardship needs to be more about the Lord's agenda than our own.
God is not against you having more. He's against you forgetting Him to get more.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. God loves to prosper His people, but not when we're more hungry for stuff than we are for Him. So today, Dr. Evans probes the problem of materialism and explains how greed can get in the way of the truth. It's part of his current 2-volume series on stewardship. And later, I'll be back with details on how you can get Volume 2 on CD as our gift. Right now, though, let's turn to Acts chapter 8 as we join Dr. Evans.
Today, I want to say 4 things about the abuse of this beautiful thing that many of you have discovered, the stewardship. This fact that if I give, it will be given unto me, pressed down, shaking together, flowing over. That if I sow bountifully, then I can expect to reap bountifully. And that is great news. But in the midst of that news, I don't want us to go off the deep end. You see, Simon, first of all, brought with him the crisis of materialism, which was idolatry. To be an idol is to worship something other than God. When he saw Christianity, he saw dollar signs. He didn't see that this was a place where men came to know God and love God and serve God. He also saw this is a place you can get a quick buck. Because he says in verse 18, now when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money. God for sale. Voodoo Christianity, where God would be used for utilitarian purposes. That is, where he would benefit me. I'd like to buy what you're doing with the congregation so that I can do it too and get the power and the prestige and the income that comes with being in this new thing called Christianity. Oh, it comes in different ways today. Sometimes it comes with blessed handkerchiefs. Other times it comes with water from the Jordan River. Sometimes it comes in the name of holy oil that you rub on the sick parts of your body. Sometimes it comes in a mail marked confidential for your eyes only, even though it was sent bulk mail. Sometimes it comes with a promise that I will pray over your letter, even though what they're doing is praying over the batch, putting their hands on the mountain of mail and saying, I prayed for you, when your letter was never even opened. It is all an attempt to commercialize God and to turn the God who, yes, does more than you can expect to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. It is an attempt to turn him into the servant of man. In fact, some will even pronounce, God will kill me if you don't give me enough $1 million. It is the commercialization of God. It is turning the church into a stock market. It is idolatry. And that's what Simon wanted. He saw that what was happening in Christianity could be very, very lucrative. I mean, if I buy this power, then I can sell it for a price and make a profit, and I can line my pockets in the name of the Lord. And a lot that goes today, brothers and sisters, under the name of stewardship has nothing to do with stewardship. It has everything to do with greed. And you must be able to discern the difference because there are two extremes. One extreme says if you're poor, you're spiritual. The other extreme says if you're rich, you're blessed, when neither may necessarily be the case. And that's why we must deal with this attempt to turn God into Aladdin's lamp. You remember? Alakazam. Presto. Where you rub the lamp. Hocus pocus. And out pops a genie and he says, your wish is my command. And we say, give me this and give me that and give me this and give me that. And genie goes, yes, master. Because whenever you call God up by rubbing a theological lamp, you have called him to serve you, and that's backwards Christian soldiers. God is not here to be your jack in the box, to wind him up and pop him up and push him down when you're done. Now, this is not new. In John chapter 2, verses 13 to 17, Jesus had to go to the temple because the money changers were changing money. Then they were charging interest on the animals being brought for sacrifice and charging interest on that, and they were making a pretty good profit and they were lining their private pockets in the temple of God. And Jesus Christ had to come over and he had to flip tables over, and he says, how dare you turn this house of prayer into a den of thieves? How dare you use this holy place simply for financial gain? Is there anything wrong with financial gain? Absolutely not. Is there anything wrong with being productive? Absolutely not. Is there anything wrong with getting rich? Absolutely not. But there's everything wrong with piggybacking off the Lord to do it. Even the disciples were confused. Jesus said, it's easier for a rich man to go through an eye of a needle than for him to get to the kingdom of God, in Matthew 19, verses 23 and 25. And they thought prosperity was tied to spirituality. They said, well, then if the rich folk can't get saved, then who can get saved? Because I thought if you were rich, that meant God was on your side. They were confused about this thing called prosperity. It's when you begin to use God as your lottery ticket. One man told me, he said, I'm playing the lottery, but I'm praying to God to win. Whenever you use God to do something that God tells you don't do, that's idolatry. And while there's great blessing to serve God, and while some of you have now come to view stewardship and understand that when you honor him, he'll honor you. When you give him the first fruits, he'll fill your barns with plenty. And you've come to love that. You've come to say, boy, this is something special. Watch it. Lest you turn his house of prayer into a den of thieves. It's a lottery ticket. You pull the slot machine and wait till God makes your numbers come up, and then all your buddies are around and they hoop and holler, or better yet, say amen, praise the Lord, because of the misuse of God. Paul ran into a prosperity problem in the church of Corinth, because he writes them in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and notice what he says to them. He says to them in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 8, you are already filled. You have already become rich. You have become kings without us. Now you'd have made it up the ladder. And I would indeed that some of you would become kings so that we might reign with you, because we're little nobodies. For I think God has exhibited us apostles last of all as men condemned to death, because we have become spectacles to the world, both the angels and men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are prudent in Christ. We are weak. You are strong. We are disguised, but you are with honor. He says, and to this present hour, we are both hungry and thirsty and are poorly clothed and roughly treated and don't even have a house. Now, you're going to tell me Paul is carnal? You're going to tell me Paul's not close to God because he's homeless? No, he was an apostle. He was the one chosen of God. And yet he says, sometimes my tummy aches because I don't have prosperity. It was Paul who said, I know how to be abased and abound. Yeah, I know how to have a day with extra, and then I know how to have a day when I don't know if I'm going to make it, and I love Christ equally on both days. I'm not carnal because I have a bad day and spiritual because I have a rich day. God is still God both days. And let me tell you the secret. Here's the secret. Any theology that works for Christians in America that doesn't work for Christians in China is heresy. Any theology that works for Christians in America that doesn't work for Christians in Bangladesh is heresy. Any theology that works for Christians in America that doesn't work for Christians in India or Africa is heresy. And are you telling me that because this servant of God in China only has a rice pod to eat today, and he's praising God that at least he has rice and he's got to trust God for his daily bread tomorrow, are you telling me that you're more spiritual than him because you have a freezer? Any theology that's good for the great-grandchildren of slaves, that's not good enough for the great-grandmothers who prayed us to the point we are today, is heresy. Are you telling me that when they wrote those spirituals, they didn't know God because they didn't have shoes and they didn't have the finer things of life, but all they could say was, I got shoes, you got shoes, all of God's children got shoes. When I get to heaven, gonna walk all over God's heaven with those shoes because I may not get shoes in this life. Are you telling me something was missing? That is a lie. And any call for prosperity that does not give the same benefits to anybody who knows the same Savior is heresy. It is a westernization of the Christian faith. It has nothing to do with biblical Christianity. And it is a lie. Oh, there's truth in it. Don't get me wrong. But truth is always used to bootleg a lie. See, gotta have truth in order for the lie to go somewhere. Yes, yes, the Bible does say in Proverbs 35, 27 that God has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. And yes, Ecclesiastes 2, 26 says that God will take from the sinner and give wealth to the saint. Yes, yes, and again I say yes, that's just not all the Bible says. Secondly, the characteristic of materialism is greed. At the heart of materialism is greed. Now please don't misunderstand me. Greed does not mean you have things. There's nothing wrong with having things. There's nothing wrong with having a lot of things. But greed is an attitude toward those things. What is greed? How do we tell you whether you're a materialist? It is where the visible takes precedence over the invisible. It is a preoccupation with stuff over a preoccupation with God. It places the wrong price tag on physical things. It overvalues the car, overvalues the clothes, overvalues the home, overvalues the bank account. It gives it more power than it has. In fact, it expects those things to give you what only God can give you. That's a materialist. You can be on welfare and be a materialist. Or you can be a millionaire and not be a materialist. Because greed does not start with what you have. It starts with what you think about what you have. Materialism fundamentally is when stuff comes before God.
But doesn't God promise to prosper his people? Dr. Evans will talk about that issue when he comes back in just a moment. First, though, I have some great news for you. If the stresses in your life have been making you feel anxious or fearful, this week only, we'd like you to have a free copy of a great book by Dr. Evans called Let It Go. It'll teach you how to recognize when these powerful emotions aren't just feelings, but strongholds, a kind of spiritual trap that keeps too many of us captive. You'll learn how to break free, beat worry, and face tough times with a kind of confidence you never imagined. You know, there are nearly 100,000 copies of Let It Go already out there helping people. And we'll be glad to send one to you absolutely free. Just contact us no later than Friday and request it. Remember, we only have a limited number of copies available, and we can only make this special offer this week. So be sure to visit TonyEvans.org to get yours right away. That's also the place to go to get a copy of Tony's current teaching series, Principles of Christian Stewardship. This two-volume, 16-message collection on CD or DVD contains insights on what it means to be a good manager of the resources God gave you. It includes a lot of additional material and several bonus messages we won't be able to present on the air this time around. And right now, for a limited time, we're making Volume 2 of this popular series available on CD as our gift when you support the Ministry of the Alternative with a contribution of any size. So visit us today at tonyevans.org or call us at 1-800-800-3222. Make your contribution and let us send you Principles of Christian Stewardship, Volume 2 on CD, plus the book Let It Go. Again, that's tonyevans.org. Or call us day or night at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our staff members help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, right now, Dr. Evans is back with more of today's lesson. Let's join him.
That leads to a final point. The cure for materialism. The cure. The cure is repentance. In Acts 8, verse 22, therefore repent of this wickedness of yours. But if possible, because this deals with judgment, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you, for I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity. You bound by this stuff. God never meant for money to put handcuffs on you. He never meant for you to be chained down by his blessing. God's been so good, I'm too tired to get up and go to church this morning. He meant for the blessings to free you up to do more for him. Deuteronomy 8 says the Lord gives you power to make wealth. And then he says to establish his covenant. In other words, God doesn't give you the power to make wealth just for a better house, just for a better car, just for designer clothes. Nothing wrong with those. But he says he gives you power to make wealth so that because of his blessing in your life, his kingdom has been expanded. 1 Samuel 2:7 says the Lord sends poverty and the Lord sends wealth. He does both. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8:5, the Macedonians put God first. They put God first even in their poverty. And many of us don't even put God first in our wealth. They put God first in their poverty. Whenever your spiritual life is less important than your financial life, then you're in a heresy. Everybody wants to quote 3 John chapter 2, may you prosper and have good health. But they don't quote the rest of the verse, as your soul prospers. In other words, God wants to meet you financially as you're being growing spiritually. But you don't want to grow spiritually, but you want to progress financially. Because we have a misperception, we're living for time rather than eternity. That's the problem. We're living for time rather than eternity. We're not living with eternity. We think everything's going to stay here. The Bible says about Moses, he would not enjoy the sin for a season because of his view of eternity. Abraham was looking for a city whose builder was God because he had a view of eternity. Yes, enjoy time, but this stuff is going to burn, baby, burn. There's nothing wrong with having money as long as money doesn't have you. You must repent. And we have some people in here who need to repent because money has become your God. And God is, you love God because you believe he's going to help you get more money. Because you believe he's going to help you get a better house and a better car and this and that and the other. And God doesn't want to be loved for his stuff. He wants to be loved because he's already first loved you. He wants to be loved because he's God. He wants you to have an eternal perspective and not just be locked into the chains of time. You've got a TV, you've got a VCR, you've got a Blockbuster card, you've got cable television, you've got all kind of antennas on your roof, you're entertained from the morning till night and haven't picked up your Bible all week long. Up there talking about, I praise God for my 54-inch television set. How can you praise God for that which is keeping you from the God you're praising? That is heresy. God doesn't give prosperity because he doesn't want believers poor. There were plenty of poor believers in the Bible. He gives prosperity so that he can work to you, so that he might work through you. And you can't do it without repenting and saying, Lord, I've been wrong in my priorities. I repent. I'm coming home. There was an annual program we always watched, The Wizard of Oz. Oh, Dorothy and Toto were in Kansas. You remember? And then they got caught up in a whirlwind and they watched themselves in a whole new world. She found some friends to help her walk the track. There was the lion and the tin man and the straw man and everybody wanted to make their way to get to the wizard because the tin man was all creaky and noisy and the lion had no heart, and the straw man had lost all of his insides, and everybody wanted something from the wizard. They finally looked out over the precipice, and there it was, Oz. And oh, how magnificent it was. There's where the wizard lives, and they made their way down to Oz. She finally got behind the curtain and discovered there was no wizard. It was a makeshift idea. And so they told her, well, Dorothy, you might as well stay here. Look at all the plush stuff you'll have here. Look at all the joy that you'll have here. Look at all the beauty that you'll have here. Since there is no wizard, you stay here. But that's when the beautiful good witch showed up. She showed up and she said, Dorothy, the solution was always with you. She says, hit your heel together three times and simply say, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. And she clicked her heels together three times and woke up home in Kansas. Don't let any wizards give you a theology that says stay here. Don't let any wizards give you a theology that says make this place your home. Don't let any wizards give you a theology that makes it look like this is the place to stay, because when you pull back the curtain, there is no wizard. The only thing you should listen to is the Lord Jesus Christ, who's telling you there's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. God is calling you today not to give up your riches, but to give up making your riches your God and any theology that does the same.
Dr. Tony Evans with a powerful call for us to commit to following Christ. And stay with us, because Dr. Evans will come back to tell us how to do that, even if we've never made that commitment before. Today's lesson was part of Tony's current series called Principles of Christian Stewardship. It's available on CD or DVD. But don't forget, for a few more days, we're making Volume 2 of Principles of Christian Stewardship available on CD as our gift when you support the Ministry of the Alternative with a contribution of any size. These 8 lessons cover some of the most critical aspects of this important topic, so be sure to request it today before this special offer runs out. The same goes for the book I mentioned earlier, Let It Go, Breaking Free from Fear and Anxiety. We'll be glad to send you a copy absolutely free, but only while supplies last, and only if we hear from you by Friday. So be sure to visit us at TonyEvans.org today and make your request. That's TonyEvans.org. Or call us at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our staff members help you. Our phone center never closes, so there's no need to wait. Again, dial 1-800-800-3222. Most of the time, people who have a problem with giving don't lack generosity. They lack trust. So tomorrow, Dr. Evans will talk about God's reasons for making us caretakers of the resources He's given us. I hope you'll be with us. Right now, though, He's back with this final word.
If you've been listening to our broadcast and you have not personally trusted Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins so that He can give you the gift of eternal life right now, I want you to go to God and transfer your trust from any and everything else except the Son of God who died on the cross for your sins and arose from the dead. In fact, I'm going to say a little prayer, and you can repeat it after me. You just have to mean it for yourself. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner and that I can't save myself. I believe Jesus Christ, your Son, died on the cross in my place for my sin, and I now am trusting Him alone to forgive me and to give me the gift of eternal life that He promised to give to anyone who came to Him for it. Thank you for saving me, and help me from this day forward to live a life pleasing to you. Congratulations. Welcome to the family. Find a good Bible teaching church so you can grow. And we are here to help you with resources to move you forward in your spiritual life. God bless you.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative, restoring hope, transforming lives.